Blog Talk Radio.
Alrighty, and welcome everybody today. We have Amy with us today, at least I hope we do. She is going to be teaching on chakra number 6 today. She's in the previous Wednesday weeks, we have gone with her through all of the first 5 chakras, and all those are in archives. There was a couple weeks there on the Wednesdays when Florida was experiencing some extreme weather, and she had a little difficulty with her telephone and her car and so on and so forth. And there are a couple Wednesdays where we didn't get those consecutive, but pretty much if you look back in the archives on the Wednesdays, we have chakras 1 through 4, and then last week we did chakra 5. And this week we are doing chakra 6. Let's see, what else? Our regular announcements. Our Master Psychic Jethro is at www.jethrosmith.net. And you can contact him either on his website at that www.jethrosmith.net or 928-284-0437. To either book a reading or get an autographed copy of Jethro N. Kay's book, Living in the Psychic Realm. It is available through Amazon and through Barnes & Noble as well as he has some right on his website there. Other folks to get a hold of, we have a lineup. On Mondays now, we have Aurora Rose, and she is, let's see, I'm going to have to actually look her information up. I will get that with me here in just a little bit, so hopefully by the next time that we have a little break here, I'll be able to announce her stuff. But she is our Monday gal. And then Tuesday, we have Pamela Cummins, and her website is www.itsuccessfulrel, that's short for successfulrelationships.com, so it's successfulrel.com. And Pamela is also on Facebook. She's, if you just type in her name, Pamela, it's Pamela Cummins, Cummins. And then she's also on Twitter under Rev Pamela. So if you put that in there, you'll find her at those two places also. And today we have with us Amy Kavanaugh. She is owner of Awakening Claire, and that talks about clairaudience, clairsentience, all the quote Claire gifts that we have. Let's see, okay, I have a couple callers and I'm trying to figure out which one is Amy. I'm not sure if I've got her on yet today. Then tomorrow we will have with us Linda Irwin, and she is the our ET and paranormal person. She's also a life coach, does kind of that kind of stuff from the paranormal researching side, just very fascinating stuff she does. And then this Friday, Jethro is to be on with this gentleman who has, let's see, what is he called? He's called the Violet Flame. He does his Violet Flame work. He hasn't given me a name yet, so I'm still calling him the mystery guest on Friday, but that should be a very interesting show. And then our sister show that usually airs in the evenings is called Living in the Psychic Realm. It is the same show title as what Jethro and Kay's book is, that Living in the Psychic Realm. And their number to call in, and they are doing readings and so on and so forth with that, is 714. You've got to think about this one. It's really easy. 333-3354. All right. And there is Amy in the chat room. Let's see. Okay, now the four is you. Okay, yay, Amy. Thank you. All righty.
Okay. Yay.
I have a different number.
It is, and it's a good lesson about the chakras in that if one of your chakras is blocked, it's going to impact the other six. And I'm having some root chakra issues, and it is causing me to lose stuff and muck stuff up. So basically, I just have to keep going out, and it's cheaper to get a new line than it is a new phone. So blah, blah, blah. It doesn't, but it is all my fault, and it is all caused because I am not doing the work. I mean, no, I'm not being like a martyr here, but
Mercury retrograde, though. I mean, this is about communication.
Right. And there's solar flares, there's solar flares, and I have alien visits and crazy people and stuff. Or I could take responsibility and say that you have to do this work every day. You don't do it once, and it goes on autopilot for eternity.
Right.
Like trying to drive a car and never getting the oil changed. Sooner or later, it's going to make your engine blow up. And I think that I'm pretty close to that. But anyway, we have on. Pardon me?
I say, how about gardening? This is more like with the chakra. I look at the chakra stuff as it's like growing a good garden. If you just go out and weed your garden once and then you never weed it again or never water it, you're not going to have a real good garden. So it's one of those things that is you have to kind of do it, maybe not daily, but at least, you know, at least kind of several times a week. You know, you have to get out and water the garden and pull the weeds. And kind of, that's kind of like our chakra work, isn't it? We kind of at least have to be a little regular with it, right?
Right. And that must be why my plant, because I always tell this story. that when my husband died, the people at work sent me a plant. And I'm like, this is a it's a thoughtful gesture. It is the stupidest thing anybody ever did. I just killed a husband. How am I going to keep a plant alive? And sure enough, when I was in the throes of deep grief, and sure enough, it lasted about as long as one of my iPhones. But if I ever get a plant again, and it's not plastic, I will take your sage advice and nurture it a little bit. It's a wonder that my kids are so successful. They must have been nurtured by the cat. Anyway, so we've been talking about the chakras. No, it's like accentuate the positive. But we've been talking about the chakras, and they're really, and what I was interesting, because I'm helping a woman edit a book, and she talks about Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yes.
And for those of you who took psychology, you know that there's this hierarchy of needs. And curiously, there's seven of them. And curiously, the one on the bottom is survival, and the one on the top is self-actualization. So I think one of the things, and that's one of the big things about Awakening Claire, is to just show people that these are just ancient truths. They're not some harebrained scam. These are not new ideas. It's actually a return to people used to live spiritual lives back in the 18th century. People knew these sort of things, and then we decided that we didn't need them anymore. We decided, you know, water comes from a faucet, money comes from the ATM machine, and everything. So it's really important to understand that. You'll see these patterns all through different thoughts, different symbols, and things like that. So, and that's why it's not that difficult. You know, if your root chakra is blocked, you don't have to run out and buy a ruby. You could just put a red shirt on, or just sort of, move your thoughts to the color. So the first thing we do when we talk about each of these chakras is tell some of its basic characteristics. Now, the third eye is our brow chakra. It's located in the center of our forehead. And if you see like Indian women who wear bindis, they put it on their third eye to open up their intuition. For any of you that watch like trashy TV, there's an episode of The Real Housewives of New Jersey, and I like that show because that's the town I grew up in when normal people lived there. And they have a little local, medium, and she was having a summer solstice party, and all these very materialistic women were coming to the party, and the owner of the shop was like putting bindis on them all. And then about 15 minutes later, it lapsed into, you know, the typical housewife, you know, cat fight, low chakra type of behavior, again, it's just important to understand that, you're not going to become self-actualized through retail therapy or by cutting the sticker on your forehead, or that you really have to do the work, and you have to do it every day. And then sometimes you have to do little tune-ups in the middle of the day. You know, if you're starting to get like a feeling in your gut, or someone's energy is coming in, you can block it by just covering your belly button and your heart, like just cross yourself. And block that. You know, there's just little things that you can just do and remember to incorporate these things into your life. So the third eye is a female chakra, which makes sense because we always talk about a woman's intuition. So these centers of energy, the female ones spin counterclockwise and the male ones spin clockwise. But then my Reiki teacher, he thought they all spun the same way. But I'm sure that's what they do. But then someone else told me that they spin that way as long as you are the same gender as a chakra. But if you're, you know, if you are a male, your
female
go the opposite way. But I don't want to go down that road because I'm not 100% sure. So for right now, because I keep hearing different things from different people. And again, a lot of this stuff was not written down. These are ancient truths. Yeah, before they had Google, before they even had the Gutenberg press. So, you know, but you can figure it out through a pendulum, putting a pendulum, you know, laying flat and putting a pendulum or having someone put a pendulum down your centers of energy, you will find them and the pendulum will swing in the direction that the energy swings. So it's female, woman's intuition. It's the color of indigo, which again, we associate indigo, you know, when we talk about the indigo children and things like that, we consider indigo a color of enlightenment. It resonates to the musical keynote A and the sound E, like me, E, but the letter A. And there is a iPhone app, if I can keep my phone long enough to get it downloaded, that has chimes that make these sounds. And I forget how much it is. Like $2.99 or something. Or what I did was I just downloaded a piano. And I have piano on my phone, and I just make that note. And then, of course, I only use it when I'm showing people what to do. I never use it when I need to get aligned because that would be that wouldn't be any fun. So anyway, and each of these is responsible for a gland in our body as well as certain organs and body areas. And this is the pituitary gland, which has to do with our endorphins, which has to do with our happiness and or our unhappiness. So, and it's also about the left brain hemisphere, the left eye, the nose, the ears, the sinuses, and different parts of the nervous system. So we're not all the way to enlightenment, which is tied to the, and I always say this wrong, I always say pineal gland, and it's not like,
Pine needle.
Thank you. Pine needle. We'll call it the pine needle, gland until I can say it right. I'm going to call it the pine needle gland, which is we're going to be talking about next week. But that's actually really interesting because people are saying that things like they put fluoride in our water because fluoride dulls it. And that's why, you know, it's all a mass conspiracy to make us stupid and unenlightened. But it's interesting. But all of these things, you know, there's all these different glands in our body that have enormous power because they secrete different enzymes and things like that. And they have a huge impact. They have a huge impact on your wellness or lack thereof. Since it's indigo, we're not to purple, we're to indigo, so it resonates to darker blue stones, stuff like lapis and solidite, things like that. We're not amethyst and clear quartz and diamonds and all that. That's the crown chakra. But it's like things like lapis and darker blue stones. Indigo is like the color of dark blue jeans. Not blue and not purple. So its qualities and functions have to do with our inner vision, our intuition, our insight, our peace of mind, or lack thereof, our imagination, concentration, our clairvoyance, which again, all the different clairs, clairvoyance is premonitions and things like that, and our extrasensory perception.
Right.
The dysfunctions and illnesses that can occur when your sixth chakra is out of whack are brain tumors, strokes, seizures,
wow,
learning disabilities, panic disorders, which is interesting because when I think of panic disorders, I think of your solar plexus. But panic disorders, depression, fear of the truth, discipline, judgment, and our ability to expand our intellect and understand science. So basically, when our third eye shut down, the American pharmaceutical industry and the psychiatrists of America had a field day. Because when you think of all these different things, instead of them being, and not to mention the neurologists, I mean, when you just go down this list of disorders, there must be 1,000, 2,000 medications that are regularly prescribed to help people. And, you know, people always talk, well, there used to not be so much depression, and there used to not be, you know, now we have all these kids with autism and, you know, all these diseases that they didn't have. And it's not that they're faking it. We created them. We created them by not using all our chakras for our highest good. So now, I mean, it's interesting because I do a lot of grief work with people, and the American Psychiatric Association has this book that has all their disorders in it, which is basically all the words that they made up that give them an excuse to give you a prescription and charge your insurance company. So they have things that most people would call emotions, but they call them mental illness. And they have taken for depression, a depressive disorder, there used to be something called the bereavement exception. So if you were having all the signs of depression, but a loved one just died, they wouldn't say, oh, you're depressed. They would say, oh, you're in grief.
You should grieve.
I mean, grief is the cause of grief is love, and if you're not grieving when someone you love died, you either didn't love them or you have some sort of disorder. But now they're taking out the bereavement exception, and what's happening is more and more people who are experiencing grief because they don't have time to grieve. They have to go back to work. Their family doesn't live there. They're no longer associated with a church, and they don't have the community around them to carry them through their grief, are trying to shortcut grief by going on antidepressants. And then what happens is those emotions, they just get frozen. Grieving really is a verb, and it requires action, but they forget to tell you that. You just think that, you know, oh, someone died. I think I will lay on the couch today and smoke cigarettes, and I'll take a shower some other day, and I'm sure I'll feel better soon. But that isn't how it works, and nobody tells you it doesn't work that way because nobody wants to, like, make someone who's grieving do any work. And it's just a great big circle, and then in comes the pharmaceutical industry with a cure. So they are taking out the bereavement exception. And even though holistic practitioners, grief experts, other enlightened people made comments to the American Psychiatric Association saying, you've got this all wrong, and you're setting people up for trouble because maybe they do have, will have depression later, but now you'll never see when the grief ended, the depression, people are not going to process the grief. And the purpose of grief, you're supposed to come out of grief on the other end of it, a better person than when you went in, because you're supposed to come out with a new life and a new perspective on things and a little bit higher up the totem pole in enlightenment. But if we introduce these, you know, sometimes medication is necessary. I'm not saying that, you know, you can just heal everything by carrying around stones and making noises. Sometimes medication is appropriate. But for someone whose spouse died 2 weeks ago and they can't stop crying, is that a disorder? I think it would be a disorder if they were not crying. So it's interesting, especially in this chakra. You know, we think of attention, ADD. I mean, you know, everyone now has ADD, and everyone's taking Adderall. So if you look at the fact that it covers all of these things, and if we look at ourselves as being all the chakras as being holistic, and then the entire body as being holistic, you start introducing all of these pharmaceuticals, and you will not be enlightened, no matter how many bindis, no matter how big the bindi is on your third eye. It will be negated by the chemicals that you're taking. So, you know, it's just important. I mean, I'm not a doctor, and I take some medications, and so I'm not really against them. But one of the things I keep hearing, especially from the homeopathic doctors and stuff, is if you have to go on a medication because of because you think it's the right thing, and it's true, go on the older ones. Go on the ones that are old standbys that have been around forever. And, you know, the old, they're cheap, so there isn't any greed involved. They were approved at a time that the FDA wasn't in bed with the pharmaceutical industry. And they've been proven for years and years and years. Now, going off on a tangent and getting on my soapbox, so I will step down. But, you know, I have to tell you, I take medication. And if you're really sick, I mean, this is what happened to Steve Jobs. He decided that he was going to heal his pancreatic cancer with rocks and noises. And then it didn't work enough, and then it was too late, and he really does not like being dead, because in heaven, everyone is equal, and he can't, and nobody cares if, you know, they have a little apple with a bite, you know, there isn't all that elitism. And it's interesting because I couldn't understand why he was coming to me after he died. And I was like, you know, I don't need you to bother me, Steve Jobs. And why are you bothering me? I don't even own, you know, I don't even have
the mat.
But it turned out that he was, you know, it turned out he was adopted. And there was a 60-minute show about him. And my jaw dropped as to the similarity. And, you know, there's big story about when he died, he was like, oh, wow. You know, he was having that into the light experience. But I'll take it one step further and tell a little gossip, probably breaking some ethical code here. Steve Jobs hates being dead because he's just not that special when he just can't be special when everything's one and there's no time and there's no space and we're all one. It's just some more energy. So anyway, so blah blah blah.
Another one of the guys or the girls.
Right. He's just a spirit among spirits. And there's no.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Because I don't keep up with entertainers or, you know, whatever. So I'm just really curious, who in the world was Steve Jobs?
Oh, Steve Jobs. That is so cute. That is so, I mean, I'm real, that is so cute that it sounds like something my mom would say. He invented Apple computer. Some people say he stole Apple computer, but he then went on to invent the Mac, and then the Mac went from to the iPod, and the iPod went to the iPhone. The iPhone went to the iPad, and the Macs are, I don't know, if there's any Mac aficionados on the phone, I'm probably aggravating them too. But the fact that they are more expensive, I mean, they're for people who like graphics and all these fancy bells and whistles and stuff like that, I guess they have an awful lot of cool stuff on them. But the usual, if you take it in for repair, their usual solution is it's time to buy another one. Apple computer is just one of the most, you know, highly valued stocks. I mean, he just took America by storm. And he was, and a lot of people think that really he was, an enlightened being. He brought us iTunes, and he brought us into this communication age, and it's the communication age that resulted in the veil thinning because of Steve Jobs, you know, in his defense, because of Steve Jobs and him making information available at your fingertips 24/7, that helped thin the veil. So once we could talk to people, once we could have friends all around the universe and get information instantaneously without even being by our TV, this in our hands. And now there's this, you know, there's all sorts of crazy stuff. It set the stage for the next frontier, which is the other dimension.
Right.
So it's really a lot of his. It's interesting how, because we don't really think of us as a civilization, you know, we hear about ancient civilizations and things like that, but we never really think of us as a civilization, and we don't think of us as entering into a new age that like what makes us so special that we don't evolve? I mean, people just thought history was interesting. It wasn't a roadmap for the future, but him and many of the other people who brought the personal computers and the internet and all that stuff really set the stage for us to operate in higher dimensions and talk to dead people and get messages and all of these things that are really helping us, you know, and that's the part that I think is really interesting as well, is they are really, they're being used for good. You know, the Bible says don't consult mediums or something like that, but it's like, we don't know what that, we were not there, we do not know what that means. And I truly do not think that Jesus would be mad if a grieving widow who couldn't take care of her kids and was just sitting there despondently went to someone to get closure with her husband who died suddenly, that they would go to hell for eternity. But then someone who, you know, like the guy in Colorado with the movie theater and stuff would get salvation. It just doesn't, you know. So I think it has to do with, and it all goes back to your, what is your intention? And people are using this information not to find out so much if they're going to have a lot of money or what the lottery ticket numbers are or something like that. They're using it for healing. You know. Yeah. I mean, if they came, you know, it would be supposed to happen. But, I mean, I think it's really important to understand that people are using their extra senses or their clairs for healing. And they give us a much better understanding of how things work, because we grew up in a society where we just think things work automatically. And we forgot how we got to
automatically.
So I think a lot of what's going on right now is people are shifting, and they talked about this when we talked about the root chakra, which is you need a real solid root chakra if you're going to hunt and gather and your water comes from a stream and you have saber-toothed tigers chasing you. But you don't need an overactive root chakra if you sit at a desk all day and your money comes from pushing buttons or, you know, in a service economy. You do not need, we should be vibrating at a much higher level. The more that we, but again, we can't just forget about chakras one and two, which are totally the earth-based chakras, because we are human.
Right.
If those are ignored or not watered and tended like the garden or like my plant, they will, it's like the people who play Farmville and people wouldn't water their plants and they would ruin the other people's farms.
Oh, no.
One bad chakra spoils the whole bunch. And you can't just say, oh, I'm sick of earth. I'm sick of earth people. So I'm turning off one and two, and I'm just going to operate at a 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, you know, and 7.
It's not going to work that way.
It's not going to work. They're all there. They're all there for a purpose. And like I've said before, you know, a lot of times we're talking about the diminished energy in a chakra and having to turbocharge it to get back, you know, and things that diminish the energy of a chakra. But a chakra can also start overacting because another one, you know, to make up for another one that's underacting, and they're all sort of tied, you know, they're all sort of an opposite, they're in opposite order. What was I going to say? It's like the color spectrum. You know, you just look at the color spectrum, and the one that's 180 degrees away, that is the color. If one's overacting, it's because the one that's the opposite color is underacting. So I'm moving all over the place here, but a thing that another thing that my handy-dandy chart, which is readily available on the internet, says about the third eye, because each of them has a verb. And the verb for the third eye is I see. And that doesn't just mean I see, you know, like I see, I don't have a vision problem, but you see what is, you know, you see what is really there. You see the truth, because you don't try to mask the truth with screens and distortions and things like that. So you have a clear vision. You have a clear vision of the world around you, and you have a clear vision of yourself. So it really is the chakra that is responsible for the mind, and it's responsible for wisdom. So since so many things are illusions that we have made up to either entertain ourselves or to hide from a sacred truth or to compensate for a fear, you can see why it's very important to keep your third eye in good working order. And
Real quick one here. I do know from my own personal experience that I had with somebody once upon a time, far, far ago. People will, if there's someone being dishonest with you, and they don't want you to, quote, see a situation that's happening, will do what's called cord you in your third eye. And it kind of like blinds you to the situation. By the time I got to somebody, they said, what is this blue mask across your eyes that you're not seeing? And I was like, I have no idea. So they took it off and they went, uh-huh. And I said, so, you know, you tell me what's up. And they said, well, apparently somebody didn't want you seeing the truth of this situation, and they put this here, and they just, you know, politely suggested that, you know, as they took the mask off, they said, why don't you start praying, you know, and asking to see the truth of the situation and see what happens. And it was just phenomenal because everything that had been hidden started unraveling for him, and all of a sudden it was just like, yeah, he'd done this real, you know, big, I mean, just think of somebody who's like, you know, crocheted a rug or knitted a rug or whatever.
Right.
All the pictures,
and it just starts unraveling.
And it just started unspooling, and I was like going, huh, how about that? But it took a while to unravel it, and I kept my own counsel on it. I didn't come out and say, oh, by the way, I just found out what you're doing type of thing. I kind of went, and I just started watching, and it's like it was so funny because he started saying things. He started, like, giving me pieces of the jigsaw puzzle, so I was just fitting pieces, you know, into the puzzle and going, this is not a nice picture. But people will do that if they're trying to be dishonest with you or prevent you from seeing a particular, you know, event or, you know, situation or whatever that's coming up.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it's very, I mean, in our prior generations, and they really weren't that long ago, it was really back to like the 18, you know, like our founding fathers were very enlightened men. And
right.
If you think about it, they wanted to separate church and state, but they didn't say, and leave your soul in England. You know, and that got missed. They were very enlightened, and that was sort of the beginning of our confusion. And we got away from there. We used to have a lot of rituals and a lot of ceremonies and a lot of sacraments and things like that that were really important reflections of sacred truths. They made sacred truths, which are, you know, really only known by, they're like the cliff notes of sacred truths. They were,
right.
They were symbolic. There used to be a lot more use of symbolism and things like that, and they were intended to be like cliff notes of the sacred truths. So the average person, you didn't have to be a monk or a cardinal or to understand and have access to these mystical things. They were to remind us of those. And somehow, along the way, a little bit thanks to religion, a little bit thanks to our egos and a shift in priorities, and also because we got this crazy idea that we could be a melting pot. So when we tried to melt, we homogenized. And in the process, you know, we ended up with a Christmas tree that we can barely use anymore. You know, so many different nationalities and so many different religions and so many different schools of thought had rituals and things that were very, very important, and they reminded us of sacred truths, and somehow or other, because a lot of them were based on religion, a lot of them were unique to one geographic area of the world. When we came to America in an attempt to all get along, these things fell by the wayside because they might be deemed as offensive to someone who didn't recognize those symbols, and they might be viewed as exclusionary as opposed to being of interest to us because there was the same sacred truth. They just had different symbols and different rituals, but that the sacred truth was the same. So a lot of what people are saying that the shift is about and things like that is shifting to a higher vibration. And a lot of the holistic medicine, Reiki and different things like that are very based on ritual, and they're very old. And I think that we're seeing more and more people collectively coming to the same conclusion that we've lost our way, and that we need to start working from a higher chakra. Last night, when Linda was on the phone, I was talking about a friend of mine who's writing a book about spirituality in the workplace. And it's pretty interesting because, you know, it talks about, because the corporations have all the money, that means they have all the power. It used to be the churches, now it's really the corporations. So we really need to make the leaders of the corporations, if they're up for the challenge and if they have the moral fiber to do so, to be our shamans and to lead us as if they were tribal leaders. Now, that's not going to work right now because we're in this lower chakra greed mode. But as the energy continues to shift and more of us become more and more interested in this stuff and do the work and see the results, there will be a revolution, and there will be that shift. Linda was talking about, there was a word for it, and it's called like empathy economy or something like that. And that's different than where we are right now, because where we are right now, we personally have a poverty mentality. I mean, I remember I lived in the town where The Real Housewives of New Jersey is filmed, and I grew up my whole life thinking that I was poor, which is ridiculous, which is so ridiculous that we should have known right then and right there that there was something really bad wrong. But that is how we all lost our way. And we empathy is different than sympathy. Empathy, you can relate and you can feel the feelings of a different person. Sympathy, you're just like, thank God that's not me. Let me give them some money. Let me give them a bottle. Let me give them something quick, but don't make me have a relationship with them. And that's how our welfare system started, instead of, you know, the rich people adopting the poor. You know, we had the government do it. And the whole mentality of that we have to give to the lesser people, regardless of what your political belief is, and this goes beyond politics, is that we don't, when we decide these different levels, you know, if when we use our judgment to say one person's better than another, one person has more than another, one person needs something, and we do that, we're messing with the whole order of the universe. And that's not empathy, that's just sympathy. Because in empathy, you develop a relationship with that person because you can feel that person's feelings. In sympathy, you don't want anything to do with the person, and you look for the quickest, easiest way to make yourself feel better about the situation. So the empathy is different than how corporations today really work, because sympathy is detached, and empathy there's an actual connection. So you know, and we're seeing it more and more. And it's interesting how quickly things take off. Because when I first read this woman's book, I thought it was so novel. And when I went to Celebrate Life, we were telling people, and they were all so excited. Well, today on whatever morning news show I was watching, there was someone saying the same thing. And that's the thing that's also happening with the vibration, you know, with operating at the higher chakra and the change in the whole energy of the earth is it is setting the stage for all of this synchronicity. I mean, you know, 20 years ago, you just had to be friends with the people who lived near you. You know, 50, 100 years ago, you just had to be friends with your family. 50 years ago, you had to be friends with the people, you know. But now, you can be friends with anybody around the globe. And if you meditate enough, you can even be friends with the dead people and the aliens. So, and it's all about raising our, it's all about just raising our vibration and keeping it raised without forgetting. It's a big balancing act because you got to keep, you know, you have to keep the lower chakras vibrating at the level that they need to, because a little bit of fear is a good thing. If the house is on fire, you should be afraid. And if you were just like, oh, look, you know, it just wouldn't be a good, it just wouldn't be, it's just not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to have every chakra. They're supposed to serve a specific purpose. And, you know, and sometimes one is supposed to be a little bit over, like when the house is on fire, you want a pretty solid root chakra. If a saber-toothed tiger is chasing you, you want a pretty good root chakra. But it opens for the moment, almost like an adrenaline rush, and then it goes back to its appropriate energy level. So hopefully I'm not repeating myself so much, but this is really the chakra where we develop our minds and we develop our beliefs. And I think I've told this story before. I think I was taught because I just love this story. There's a huge difference between your thoughts and your beliefs. And just because you think something, you may not believe it. And just because, I mean, I've heard so many people, you know, they get up at conferences and stuff to ask the speaker a question. And, you know, be someone like Marianne Williamson, of Course in Miracles, which, you know, her big thing is there's, you know, fear and love, and the bridge between the two is forgiveness. And somebody will raise their hand and they'll say, well, I forgave my mom. And then they spend the next 5 minutes going, droning on and on about the mom. But I forgave my mom. You know what? No, you didn't. You might have forgiven your mom in your throat chakra, but you did not forgive your mom, probably not in your heart chakra, because that's where the forgiveness takes place. And it has certainly not changed your brain cells and made a little dent in your brain like thoughts are supposed to do. It did not change your mind, and it did not change your vision. Her recounting that story was her vision of her mother. So this is a difference between what we say, what we feel. You know, because if you go into all the verbs, the first one is I have, and that's pretty much I have a roof over my head. And then you go up a little further and I feel, but feelings are just emotions flying all over the place. Feelings are just not very, you know, like when someone says, oh, I feel this. It's like, big deal. What is that going to do? You know, what is that going to do? Is that going to move that bucket of water? Is that going to change the world? Is that going to feed something? No, it's pretty low, unprocessed energy. Then when we move up, I can, that's where you get your sense of self. And actually, that's where we start getting into the action verbs. And curiously, that's really where the first of our clairs and extra perceptions, that's where we have the feeling. And then the heart, where you love, where you can suddenly, it's not all about you. And you can see this, you know, you can see this in Maslow's hierarchy needs. You can see this in the development of a small child. You know, when they first start, it is just them. They don't even know that the stuff that's not on the other side of their skin, you know, on the outside part of their skin, isn't them. They just think, and then they understand that the outside is affecting how they feel, then they realize they can do things on their own. And then when you can actually interact in a appropriate manner and actually love somebody and, you know, you have more understanding than you're true, I love. Then you are too, I speak, and hopefully you're speaking the truth. But still, what you speak hasn't gone through, it has not gone through your third, not everything you speak has gone through your third eye. Not everything you speak do you know. Not everything that you speak do you see, because you're not there, you're not up there yet. And then when we get to the third eye, we see, and it is that we see the nature of the universe. We see that we have a consciousness, and we are able to, we're able to understand things that we might necessarily see, or we might not necessarily have heard. We're able to understand things that we have never actually experienced, because we're relying on our consciousness, and because we're vibrating at a higher level, where we realize that here's where you sort of realize your responsibility. You realize the power of your mind, that your mind can take an emotion and make sure that it comes out properly. Like when you were talking before about the cording, if you just, you know, if you saw the cording with your root chakra, you'd kill the person. If you saw with your second chakra, you'd get all, you know, you would get all nerves. But when, or if you were only to your throat chakra, you'd be like, what in the world are you doing? But because you were able to see it at a higher level, you were able to understand what was going on, and, you know, have some emotions about it, like, wow, he's trying to exert his will over mine and trying to control my thoughts, but it wouldn't have to be said, and you wouldn't be in fear, you know, your adrenaline wouldn't be rushing all over the place, because you would just see that and be able to, you know, the emotion might come up, because again, you're supposed to have those emotions, but before they go out to the public, they really should be processed through your mind. And what Caroline Mays, I always say her last name wrong, Caroline Mays, she wrote all sorts of books, and she's got some really good videos on YouTube and things like that. And she used to be a medical intuitive, which is kind of like you know, Louise Hay. And then she evolved sort of into a mystic and studied all these ancient cultures and special interest in military history. Anyway, she talks about this idea of developing an impersonal mind, because a personal mind is just all your emotions flying around your head. It's all about you, the person. But an impersonal mind, again, it's not, it's something that we strive towards. It's not something, you know, it's something that the ascended masters have. It's probably something that people like Mother Teresa has, or I'm sitting here looking at my ripped up copy of her book, and, you know, the woman, the Peace Pilgrim, you know, the Dalai Lama, and people like that. There are people who have really done their work and are, have been able to develop an impersonal mind where everything is processed exactly for what it is, and that there's no greater reaction, sort of a Zen type thing, where there's no greater reaction. You know, you see a $1,000 bill and you see a piece of bubble gum. It's like, there's a $1,000 bill. There's no judgment in it. There's no judgment in it. There's no greed in it. I better get the $1,000 bill, or I'm going to be stuck with the. There's no jealousy in it. It's just everything is seen, and that the key to developing your third eye. And I hate when people say this is meditation, because meditation is time consuming, and.
That's actually what we've just been talking about in chat here back and forth with Jan is how we all have those few, like, you know, minutes in the day. Like, if you think of, you know, pennies, nickels, and dimes, you know, like the small change, you know, that you have through the day, and you gather your small change through the day and you put it in your savings bank, you know, at the end of the day. But those few minutes that you find yourself, well, I'm waiting for the bus, or I'm waiting in the doctor's office, or whatever. You find yourself with a few minutes here and there. And it's like, if you close your eyes and take those few minutes to breathe, relax, you know, kind of rest right where you're at. It's like, yeah, you know, you can have, because I've done this in dentist's office, or, you know, in doctor's office, different things. You have people around you, but when you close your eyes, you say, okay, I'm just going to allow whatever's going on around me to go around, and you go and do a little bit of interior work. And just say, okay, right now, I'm feeling like my yellow chakra needs a little bit of weeding. So I'm just going to kind of go, and it's like, you know, breathe to it, send the light there. Take your hand, either, you know, it's harder to do it in a crowd physically, but mentally you just kind of go, okay, and kind of pop it out. And it's like, you know, take those few weeds out that you're feeling. It's like, just take a few moments and time there. And it's like, and if you want to start, you know, at the beginning of the day, say, okay, my red needs to be cleaned out a little bit, or my orange, and next to my orange, and next to my yellow. But when you find places and spaces in your day where you're just kind of sitting there, just kind of vegging out, because I'll tell you what, sometimes you get in a comatose state, you do that, you go, hey, you know, I can be doing a little bit of my gardening work on my chakras and just kind of pull a few things out here and just kind of clean it out, spin it up, brighten it up. And it doesn't take real long. It's like, it doesn't, that's what we're talking about. It doesn't have, meditation does not have to be like an hour epic. It's just like feeding ourselves at like a meal time. You know, you sit down, sometimes you go through fast food, which is not recommended, you know, but, you know, in terms of diet-wise, but they do have salads now. You know, but if you just get those few minutes of, you know, hey, I just got to do this quick, and it's like, or, you know, and sometimes during the day, you know, if you're out even like business world or whatever, and you're interacting with people, you can tell when somebody has taken a shot at your third chakra, you know, your willpower, and they are really trying to hard sell you something or whatever. It's like, you just kind of sometimes feel like, I do, you've been punched in the gut, and you kind of go, oops, boing. And I use the trampoline vision and go, okay, I didn't like that, you know, kind of bounce it out. But then when I'm not with that person, I kind of go, okay, I'm just going to pull that out if there's anything remaining. But it doesn't have to be this major, big, time-consuming thing that people think it is. It's like, oh, I have to sit down, it has to be dark, I have to light the candles, this and that. You don't have to do all that. You can do wherever you're at. It's like, you know, grow where you're planted, and it's like, and garden where you're at in the moment.
Right. And you will have thought. You will have thoughts. But the point is, like you were saying, no one thought gets hierarchy over another thought. So, you know, so you might think of, oh, I have to go to the store. But then, you know, it's almost like some, just like, you know, I have to go to the store. there's a flower, there's a squirrel. You know, you are going to see these things. And for the people who are, especially for people, again, who are grieving and they want the signs from the other side, you've got to get out of this mindset of some things having precedent over another, because it's quite likely that the signs and messages are very subtle. They're not going to, no one on the other side is going to rent a billboard or put it on the Sonytron when you're at a baseball game. The signs are subtle. And but if you are a kind of person that just is attracted to all the bright lights and the biggest and the this and the that, and which is all a judgment, you know, it's all a judgment, then you will miss those signs. They're like, oh, he didn't send me any yet. Yeah, he did. You just want it to be on the Sony Trinitron.
Mr. Bullhorn.
Right. And if you think of people through time, I mean, a perfect example is the slaves when they were picking cotton and things like that. It's just repetitive. You know, they were meditating. You couldn't have survived. You could not have survived if you had not put yourself into some sort of meditative state of higher consciousness, because it was hot and it was like really sucked. But they developed the song, you know, they developed the songs and again, songs, rituals, different things like that came to bring meaning to a life that today, if we looked at with our judgment, would be a life not worth living. But and that's it. You know, if you read the famous people, like, bad things have been happening to people for a really long time. You know, think of the Anne Frank and people who are Nelson Mandela and people who had to live through very difficult times. They did so by getting rid of their judgment. Like, for example, I have a whole bunch of stuff going on, but one of the things I have going on right now has to do with a financial problem. So I can look at I have no money as, I can say I have no money, which is a basic truth. So it's like I have no money, the glasses, I have no money, the glass is blue. They have the same, those are just two true statements. Or you could be like, I have no money, oh my God, I better sell the glass. Oh, you know. That is, and if you think about that, in when you try to meditate, it becomes easier, because of course you're going to see things, of course you're going to think about things, but if you just say it like, I have no money, the glass is blue, I'm dying of cancer, the grass is green. Those are just two, you know, they take the judgment out, and that's where the healing occurs, you know. That's where, you know, the power of our thoughts, and for people who follow The Secret, the power of manifestation comes, and all of those things. You know, again, if you, you know, if you think about someone that you're having a problem with in your life, you could spend your 30 seconds in meditation like, I hate my mother, she ruined my life. Once she's dead, I'll be enlightened. Or you could just be like, there's a situation, you know, bless my mother for all of the lessons she has taught me. I have so much gratitude for my mother, for, you know, and
if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here.
Right. If it wasn't for her, I know this has a divine order. All the little special thing, you know, all the little special things, all the power that one person has over another is brainwashing. They have power over your mind. They have power over your mind. for example, if you're not speaking
right.
to your mother, but you cannot have a conversation with any of your friends without spending most of the time talking about your mother, you might as well be talking to your mother. Or when you break up with someone and you're still, you know, they have, or especially if someone does you wrong, you know, that you have let them have control over your mind. It's fine for you to feel it. You're supposed to feel it. Like, you're supposed to feel dejected or threatened or less than or more than. It's okay to feel it. You just don't want to think and believe it. It's just, you know, and it really, that's why a lot of people who, yeah, meditation can be as complicated or as simple as you want it to be. It can also be as mystical or as scientific as you want it to be. You know, there's some people who are sort of doing the science of the, you know, change your thoughts, it's a methodical thing, a chemical chemical reaction happens, or you can do it like the Buddhist, you know, or you can turn it into a mystical experience, or you can turn it into an exercise like brushing teeth. I have to meditate today, and you know, you brush, you know, but you do it, you do it methodically. You could meditate when you're exercising. You can't meditate when you're exercising if you're going to be like doing reps and this and that. But if you got on, if you got on the treadmill and got out of your head and just focused on the cadence of your feet or something like that, that would be. That would be meditation. A lot of people find listening to ancient and primal sounds helpful as well. You can't meditate when you're listening to a Madonna song or, you know, something that generates, you know, there's going to be things that just can't generate stimuli. Okay. Yes.
This is one thing I used to do. Oh, man, I've got to get back into it. Jethro's really gotten on me about this. Is I used to do what was called a walking meditation, and I found out later they do have like the, I think it's a Zen Buddhist or somebody has something like that where they get up and they actually walk while they meditate. I did it a little bit different because, yes, I used, you know, headphones, and I was out walking in Washington Park and Laramie. But I put on, I made a meditation tape for myself, and I did the breathing and the walking while I was doing it. And people were going, well, how do you ground? I said, because I'm like a kite. It's like if you think of a kite, you know, like Ben Franklin out there flying in the storm, it's like, but you have this attachment. You know, you are holding the kite on the ground, and the kite is flying all over. So I said, my visualization when I am walking, out walking on it, is I am like, you know, the things that I put, my grounding cords or, you know, whatever you want to call them, that go down to and ground me into the center of the earth. It's just like a kite string. So I can go any place on the planet, and I am still grounded in motion because that little kite thread just follows me all over because there's no limitation on it going through the crust of the earth or the center of the earth or any of that. It just moves with me, and it flows, and it's all fluid because it's all energy.
That's very, very important. And you can, if you don't ground yourself before you meditate or before, you know, before you go to a medium development class or any of those things, you can take off like a balloon and fly. I mean, I've had it happen to me before where I didn't realize that I was going to have a mystical experience. I was like on church on Christmas Eve. I start flying around the up by where the paintings were on the ceiling. But the difference was, I mean, had I been grounded and doing that, it would have been beautiful and a wonderful experience. But I wasn't grounded. I was suddenly up there. I wasn't really sure how I was getting back down or if I was getting, you know, if I was getting down. So anytime you're going to do any of this stuff, anytime you're going to meditate, attempt to channel or astrally project or remote vision or any of those things, you need to make sure that you have put roots down into the ground because the universe is very, very, very big. And if you're not grounded, it'll be like you know, a helium balloon that you just never see, you know, that you just never see again. And what it does, it takes away from your meditation, because at some point in time, and I've had this happen to me before, like sometimes your body gets real heavy when it meditates. That's almost like a good feeling because it's like you're grounding. But sometimes if you meditate too, one time I was doing this thing at the conference, and I was getting so light that I just couldn't even feel, I couldn't even feel my parts. But it was okay because I was grounded. But I'm sorry, you had a question.
Right. Okay, there's a question here in chat. There's a couple of them here. One of them is, okay, and this is from Energy Therapies. It says, if the thoughts, if you're having thoughts, if the thoughts incorporate how you will achieve, if the thoughts incorporate, just a second, I'm sorry.
I got disconnected from chat. Let me see if I can try to...
If the thoughts incorporate how you will achieve something, so that the thought becomes an action. So it's like, okay, and I think they added some more here. Okay, energy thoughts do not always become actions, and we're not here. It was not a question, it was a statement. Okay, sorry. The thoughts do not always become actions.
You just look at this as a whole, you know, thoughts come and go. We get a lot of thoughts from our emotions. We get some of our thoughts that we inherit from our ancestors and things like that. But just because you thought it doesn't mean you know it. You think a lot of things that are false. You know, I think I'm fat. You know, I'm looking at these pictures of me in high school. I thought I was fat back then. You know, we think things that are false, and it's okay to think things that are false. But we hope to get those false things out of our way, processed. At a lower vibrational level. So when we get up to the I can, where we're actually doing things that we're not doing them out of false, we're doing them out of truth. So we all probably have more false thoughts than we have truth in us. And they're fine as long as they are. It becomes true. If you have a false thought and you name it, you know, if you name it, it's become a truth. You know, if you say, oh, I'm fat, but I know I just say I'm fat, but I'm not fat. You know, if you name it false, it becomes true. So it's just a matter of kind of sorting out our thoughts. Oh, and where you get to the point where there are no thoughts that are more important than other thoughts, and the thoughts that are false, or the thoughts that were put there by someone else, or the thoughts that got in your DNA from people 2,000 years ago are labeled as such. There's just going to be infinite number of thoughts, but it's to sift them through so that the things that are forming the creases in your brain and the things that become your reality are all true, and they are all based on love, and they are not just true to you, they are universal truths. And when we get to that level, which I'm certainly not there, but we, you know, for now, we're all just trying to learn a little bit more about this. It's just becoming more and more conscious. And being conscious means that we have an awareness. Oh, there's a lie. I just did that out of fear. I just did that out of greed. You know, we're not going to be able to eliminate all those behaviors. We're not going to be able to get rid of judgments unless we don't talk to each other, because each word is a judgment. Each word that we select is a judgment. You know, there's more than one word for a single thing. So which one you choose to use becomes a judgment. It's just that you are sort of detached from the outcome, because if you're tied so much into the outcome, you're operating out of fear. Or if you, so what Carolyn Mice says here is you make all decisions based on the wisest assessment that you can garner at that immediate moment. You're no longer really working for a specific outcome, because you understand that the outcome is of God, and the outcome is of the universe. Marianne Williamson has a prayer she has lots of them, but I discovered. And in this prayer for healing, she says a lot of things, but she says, "Let my life be a bridge from the problem to the answer." And the only way that you can be a bridge and be counted upon not to fall apart as soon as someone is on it, or decide not to be a bridge as soon as people are using you as a bridge, is to move more and more to a life where you are not vested in a specific outcome. Prosperity is not a specific outcome. That's a goal. I want $2 million in my account on January 3rd, 2014. That's a specific outcome. You know, that's a specific outcome. Mm-hmm. Also, learning, we're all influenced by fear, because not so many generations ago, you know, within the past 2,000 years, tigers were chasing us. But recognize when you are being influenced out of fear. And that's a perfect thing to do with these little, like, bus stop moments and waiting in line moments and things like that. It's just, you know, find some people, line them all up, say, you know, just go through all of them and say, go down the bottom right one. Am I fearful of something right now? Name it, you know, name it. Then it's true. If you've just named something as a fear, you've taken an irrational emotion, labeled it as such. So you've made, you know, so you've taken a false thing and you have labeled it for what it is. So it is now true, and it's now safe from your emotions that are flying all over the place. You know, so recognize your fears. But then go one step further. Recognize the situations where you tend to act out of fear. Refrain from judgments, although we just continue to judge. So when you say something, you know, notice there's judgments in everything. There's judgments that you could say, it's hot out. That is a judgment. That is, you know, so we are going to still be scared, judge, do all these things because we're human. But the more and more we recognize when we are being human, then we recognize, oh, when I'm doing those human-like things like judge or be fearful, I've separated myself from God. And when I am operating out of those energies, I'm exercising my free will. And it's more than likely that God's plan for you, your free will have you, will get you much less then God's plan and the or the universe's plan for you. So develop introspection. It's not obsession. It's not rumination. It's just you can just look at things and call them what they are, nothing more and nothing less, because then you've come to truth. So anyway, I'm babbling along here. And again, it's just progress. You know, it's just progress. Not perfection. Because if we become perfected, we will just poof right out of here. And we will, you know, because when that actually happens, or, in, you know, if we equate it back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, we become self-actualized. We don't have to be on Earth anymore because we don't have to learn these lessons anymore. So when I find myself operating at a lower chakra because I'm tired or fearful or, you know, for whatever the reason, I remind myself, if I learn all my lessons this time, I won't have to come back. So the higher you can get up to this, the more you can get to this where it's not forced and it is just your natural way of reacting to the limitless stimuli that we are exposed to in a day, the less likely it is that it's more likely you will get to stay in spirit for a longer time. But if we keep falling into the same traps, we keep operating out of fear, the universe will send us back down here and it will give us things that are even scarier. Because if we didn't learn it with those things, you know, if we didn't learn it from being scared of, well, I have a horrible fear of frogs. And if I don't get over it this time down here, I'm sure I will come back and be living in an alligator pond or something much more appropriate to be afraid of than harmless little frogs. So, so that's that. So next week we get to do the crown chakra, and that's really where we're one with the universe, and that's where we get to talk to dead people and get information and vibrate just like that's at the ultimate highest level. That's the chakra where mediumship takes place, but anyone who is really, you know, when you have someone that's given you a good reading, you just know it is not just because they have the biggest crown chakra on the block. They have all their other ones in proper, vibrating at the proper frequency and in the proper, you know, and in the proper place. So that's about, I'm still not connected to the chat, so I don't know if there's any questions in there.
Yeah, 90 seconds. We had a really amazing conversation, and it was like energy therapies has been in and talking about the different kinds of things that are, you know, neutrinos. Like back in the 60s where they found bosons, leptons, quarks, subatomic particles, neutrinos, all that kind of stuff. And I'm just kind of been going back and forth and asking, I remembered that. I'm older than I want to be. But, you know, I remember those. And 60 seconds. Okay. So energy therapies, I hope you come back in with us. It's like we'd like to talk some more, you know, chat with you some more on this and maybe even call in. I know tomorrow we have Linda Irwin, and today we've had Amy with Chakra 6. This has been really good with our third eye stuff. And next week she is doing Chakra 7, the crown chakra. So we'll want to make sure we tune in with that. And golly, this has been, Amy, it's like, darn, I wish there was some way for you to, did your Adobe crash, you know, your flash player crash, that's what it does on me. But rats, yeah, we've been having this awesome chat in there. It's like, we should get you in there. It's like, I thought
yeah,
you,
so
you,
people
no,
have
no, friend,
I, yeah, I don't, you know, it's just the energy. I just have these energy things happen. So I'm either going to have to invest in redundancy. Or I'm just going to have to learn to vibrate at a different level. Okay. But if someone had a question that didn't get answered, the best place to go ask it would be over on the Psychic Chat Facebook page, or send it to, or there is the Awakening Claire Facebook page, but just a Psychic Chat, or send it to Jethro, send it to Kelly, or we will go from there. But once we get through rule next one, 7, we're not going to go through them all again, but we're going to look at them as to how we use them in day-to-day situations, like how we actually use it when a saber-toothed tiger comes and wants to kill us, and how we use it when we are trying to meditate and balance our thoughts. So we're probably out of time, but tomorrow, Colin, if you have never heard Linda, she is amazing.
The ET paranormal
person. She's a very, very unique perspective on paranormal and extraterrestrials, that it just makes sense. It is not science fiction. It's not occult. It just makes sense. So it's really interesting, because, again, that's something that more and more, you know, starting to see that on the news. She's just a wonderful, it's all very confusing, these people, and, you know, and it, all these people say, oh, you're in that tribe because your eyes are green, and, you know, you're that kind of alien because your eyes are green. She breaks it down into things that just make sense. And so worth tuning into.
All right. I'm going to do the announcement here real quick. Yeah, tomorrow it is on. It's at noon Mountain time. It's 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, noon Mountain, and 11 o'clock in the morning on Pacific time. So, yeah, come back and join us tomorrow. And she'll be on. Technically, she only really wants to be on for about 60 minutes, but I've learned to book for 90 minutes because we can always end early, and that's not a problem, you know, if we're depending on the callers we get and whatever. But it also gives us that little extra time, so I'm not scrambling back in the studio to try to extend it if we have, you know, like we had go like a riot yesterday, and we extended, I had to go back in and extend. We had 10 seconds left, and I had to go back in and extend time, and I made it, which was great. But, yeah, it's like, and this has been... I really enjoyed the chat today, and if I can thank everybody for, you know, being here, and golly, this has been really cool today. So it's been awesome. So hopefully,
great,
golly, we'll get to chat.
Thanks for listening.
And
I'm sure that we will all be chatting again soon.
All righty. Sounds good. Well, and is on, do you know, is Living in the Psychic Realm, is that on tonight at 6? It's like, I haven't caught up with that show schedule.
I am not sure, because Jethro also has energy.
Right.
Energy. And sometimes they come up and disappear, and sometimes they move and things like that. But I do believe that if you need to be there, it is gonna pop across your screen, and
right,
you'll see the login. They're usually on the Psychic Chat page, but they just move around really good. So they move around really quick, and sometimes it's human error, and sometimes it seriously just disappears into the blog talk vortex.
It does. It's like, I have had that happen more than once. Well, I'll post something and I'll go back, you know, and I've said it, I've looked at it, I know it's there, and I go back, like, you know, in an hour or two, and I'm doing something else with an update, and all of a sudden I go, wait a minute. It's like, we went in one time, and something was in, I don't know how in the world that happened, but it, instead of us being in Rocky Mountain Central time, we were in America Samoan time, and talk about messing the shows up. I was like, oh, no. So, first of all,
that's why it'll move a whole day. So suddenly you'll be, you know,
Really,
what
that's the last thing that people with that psychics should be doing is trying to operate in a world that's based on time and use electronics. This could not be a worse vehicle with which to use this. We would be better off if I went outside and sent smoke signals. I could have more, but time and electronics are the two that, you know, once you start operating on that frequency, you know, you are going to a lot of computers and you will miss a lot of appointments. You will be late, you'll be early, you'll be on the wrong day because those don't exist in the spirit world. So
right.
Just keep trying to get it right and act as if there's time. But
anyway. I have a thought here. It's like what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go back. I think we've got one guest log in, but it looks like they're sleeping. I'm just gonna go back real quick. It's letting us be on here. Energy therapy wrote in, the research has shown that what is considered spiritual function is actually physical function. I was like, okay. And it's like you said, perception, belief, and attitude were the three things. And then they gave like the secret TV, somebody had, the law of attraction is not about manifestation. I'd say that's one of the biggest factors that is misunderstood. And I was going, you know,
oh yeah, they think it's a shock. People think that the secret and the laws of attraction is a shopping cart. And
right.
They think, and this is the part, this is the stuff that, you know, and they think that we are bewitched and we can twitch our nose and manifest things. And I honestly believe, going back to that inerrant Bible, when they're mm-hmm. talking about the, you know, do not seek out these people, they're,
right.
you know, it's like examine the motive and then examine the motive behind the motive.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
And, you know, the physical, you know, they're all just words and they're all just, you know, they're all just judgments. And
right.
the more we get trapped up in the words, and I used to do this all the time in my Course in Miracles class, we get all
mm-hmm.
caught up in these semantics.
Right.
And we would, instead of unraveling the truth, we would ravel it up in a ball so tight that you wouldn't know the truth if it bit you in the ass. It was just such a distortion because we would get so hung up on the word. You know, in the end, we know
perfect.
There's only energy and there's only love, and all the other stuff is some sort of distortion we've made up either to
illusion.
Get advantage over someone or right, or get something
yeah.
we want. But that's very true about the law. You know, and all of the interest in that is that we turned it into a shopping cart.
Oh, no. It's about the opportunity created through attention and desire. They'll always find smaller particles, because I was going on, you know, about, you know, they found leptons, you know, bosons, quarks. And they said they're always going to find smaller particles, subatomic particles. Quark therapy, or quarks have been known since the 1960s. Says the buzz for him or her, for energy therapies is neutrinos. Typhonese, oh boy, neutrinos. Okay, they're represented by a pretty curved V. Some of the information.
Where are you reading this?
In chat. This is what was going on in chat.
Oh, this is in chat?
Like,
wow,
there is
like
today, yes.
smart
yeah.
people. I should have gone
yeah.
in there because there's like smart
I know.
People.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like, please come to Linda's show. You know, just come to
oh,
Linda's
wow,
like,
I feel bad.
Like,
I'm just sitting here.
Right.
Yeah, that stuff really is bad. That stuff is very well suited for, and yeah, you can make, because these are just basic spiritual truths. My thing is to make it as simple as possible. When you start talking about all kinds of stuff like that, it sounds way too scary, and it sounds like there's too many nerdy guys there for me to have any interest in it. You know,
like
or then
yeah,
I go where it starts. Where it starts smelling like patchouli oil and there's, you know, noises and stuff, that is too, you know, my judgments all come in. So my real take on all this stuff is to make it sound just like, you know, the rest of our lives and ordinary people and the Beverly Hillbillies could be enlightened. It's like,
right.
But all of those things are true. You know, all of those things, I'm sure that they're true, and I'm sure that, you know, they're,
yeah.
You know, it's all the same. I mean, but that stuff, it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's all energy, yeah. And let me read you this little bit of this. She says, first of all, nutrients. So he says, not neutrinos. They didn't know what the, back in the 60s, they didn't know what the neutrinos did. It said till the last 10 years or so, they had a mistaken idea. Let's see, the mechanics improved, and now they know they do, what they do is they carry information from everything they travel through the neutrino particle theories. Let's see, okay, and then they're talking, and then Donna and Jan were talking about the secret TV. They impart information, or at least we are encoded to read this information through the neutrinos. So we're intimately connected to the universe. It's pretty awesome, yeah. And then I asked them, I said, do you have a site or multiple sites, you know, you caught all this on? And Energy Therapy said it's just years of their own research, but if you type in neutrino, you'll find the information on it. And I said, you know, have you thought about, like, collating and publishing, you know, neutrino information on it? And then he said, including the Russian scientists who developed a way to catch the neutrinos so they could be studied. And I was like, wow. You know, I said, when you said you're the 60s, you know, thinking, you know, I said, you can probably find a few works like Lynn McTaggart who touch on these subjects. If they found anything new, and Laws of Physics are publishing these days. As it stands right now, they're not finding any smaller particles. A lot of dust around the book and da 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 da. But understanding what we've already found, DNC blockages and prism. Okay, from my perspective at this time, neutrinos explain energy therapy. And then they said, you know, great show, and that's about time. I was going, yeah, you know, come back tomorrow, you know. And then people were going, okay, what time? You know, this and it's like, okay, noon, mountain, whatever. So yeah. Anyway, so I'm excited.
Well,
this
yeah,
really cool.
I mean, that's
like,
the whole thing is that it comes from, you know, it needs to be told. These are just stories,
yeah.
And they need to be told from every different angle, because then we will know that it is undeniably. Then we'll know that it's undeniably true. And that's why, I mean, I love all this scientific stuff. It goes way far over my head. And if I ever try to talk about it, I get lost and distracted halfway through the whole thing. But for people, especially with these spiritual concepts, the science part is so important, because spirituality has for so long just been considered like religion for people that don't like rules. But now we find out that even atheists have souls, and even atheists have spirituality, because it's just because they're just universal, you know. We're peeling more and more, you know, we're labeling it, but at the same time we are getting rid of the thoughts, and we're helping people, better understand it in some, not just a language, like a foreign language or an English language, but understand, but from a mindset that resonates to them. So, yeah, I hope those people come. I hope those.
I just read they're in New Zealand. Energy Therapies is from New Zealand. It's like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man. It's like, so that's going to be, whatever time for them, I think, is either really, I think it's really, really late, or it's like really early in the morning or something like that. It's
I think it's really
4 in the morning or something like that. I think they're 14.
Right.
I think they're 14 hours. Chef Peter Shepherd, or Psychic Chef Peter, there we go, is down in Australia, which is like, you know, right by New Zealand. So I think they're like, you know, same time zone. And I believe
they have like time zones,
14
like
hours.
Like three of them,
yeah.
Like us or something. But yeah, they're
yeah.
like a
because
half
like
a day.
Difference, yeah, plus a couple hours. So yeah, it would be like, I think it's like 2 o'clock in the morning for them. So they may or may not come back tomorrow.
Yeah, I know, wow. Right. If I got up to 2 o'clock in the morning just to...
I'm on exponential, man. Now, if I stayed up that late, I'd go to hyperdrive.
Right, and it was like, right, I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning to listen to this when, I split particles.
Right.
My hobby is splitting particles. I mean, I guess
exactly.
It's just amazing, though. I mean, it's just the information that's available. You know, so knowing something like that, you would have to be one of the top physicists in the universe to have that amount of information. And now everyone can have it.
Is getting it, yeah, because of the internet.
Well, what are we going to do with it now that we have it? I'm not so sure. But and don't. So anyway, don't forget. Mail me your.
Yes, I will. Yes, I absolutely will. I will do that. Actually, I would just give it to you. It's like it's, you know, there's nobody else on here right now.
Just mail it to me and I'll write it down. Write it in a thing so that less chance of making a mistake and that, you know, has serial killers coming over. So I'll talk soon.
I don't think that. Out in this neck of the wood, I'll tell you what, everybody carries their rifle racks in the back of their cars. There's not a lot of serial killers out here because if they went around shooting things, people, the first thing they'd do would be draw their guns and go, dude, what are you doing, man? Kaboom. Oh,
what I said to Linda is if you're going to live in Idaho, you know, if you're living in Idaho, it's good that you have an overactive root chakra, but you know, if you're living in a high rise in Dubai or something like that, it probably doesn't need to be.
I don't know. You know, those subways are pretty doggone dangerous. It's like I rode on the New York subways once upon a time. I was like, holy moly, how do people do this every day? I think people who live in big cities almost have to have an overactive root chakra because then you got to be aware of so many things. It's just like it's kind of like. Oh, man, think of the Lion King, the little meerkat. You know, scurry, flinch, sniff, you know, or scurry, sniff, flinch, or, you know, whatever. It's like going, you almost have to be that way in a big city because there's so many people around you, you never know who's doing what. It's like it's almost.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, we should do a geographic map of the chakras.
Right.
You know, like where you need this one and where you need whatever. The possibilities are endless. But I have to go back. I'm going to. Enough is enough for today.
There you go.
Great, thanks.
Okay, well, we'll talk to you later. Have a good one.